This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's time to go beyond the stratosphere with astrophysicist Dr. Rebecca Davies from Swinburne University. Rebecca, welcome back to Drive.
Thank you very much.
Rebecca, let's start with a curious little red dot that has been spotted by the James Webb Space Telescope, one that's turning out to be a bit more significant than first thought. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we have another set of observations from the James Webb Telescope that appear to yet again have broken another astronomical record. They seem to be falling all the time these days. This one revealed the most distant massive dead galaxy in the universe. So galaxies form when clouds of hydrogen gas collapse under their own gravity to form stars. But if a galaxy runs out of gas, or for some reason the gas can't collapse, then the galaxy won't be able to form any more stars. And we say the galaxy is dead. And these dead galaxies gradually become fainter and redder, because the bluest stars are the most massive ones that burn really, really brightly and use up their fuel within just a few million years before they explode as spectacular supernovae. While the redder stars, like our sun, are less massive and they use their fuel a lot more economically, which is good for us because stars like that can continue burning for 10 billion years or even more. And James Webb was really designed to detect these faint red galaxies because it operates at infrared wavelengths. So this is why we're suddenly finding so many more of these in the early universe.
I thought of you today because I was excited about chatting to you. I was standing out in the sun and I could feel the warmth of the sun, and I thought, oh my goodness, I'm just this minute speck of dust in the universe, sitting here at the moment, enjoying the energy provided by this one star out of so many billions in the universe. And I felt very humble all of a sudden.
Yes, we are very, very fortunate indeed.
Now let's move on to Hubble. It's captured a truly dramatic event involving a star, a black hole, and a bit of destruction. These black holes always seem to be around destruction. Is that right? Or is that my imagination?
I think pop culture would definitely like you to think that black holes are very destructive.
Are they?
In fact, I would say that black holes are actually very important for galaxies. We think that most galaxies have supermassive black holes in the center. In fact, part of the Nobel Prize in Physics in 2020 was awarded for proving that there is a supermassive black hole in the center of our own Milky Way, which they were able to show by kind of tracking the orbits of stars around the center and showing that there has to be a very massive object in the center. So that black hole is kind of the center of gravity for all of the Milky Way, and it's not really giving us any troubles. But this particular black hole that was seen was caught eating a star that went too close to the black hole. So it's a bad day for a star if you get too close to the black hole, because the star got so close that it's just a swirling ball of gas, right? So if it goes too close, the gravity of the black hole is so extreme that the star basically got stripped to shreds, and then you observe a bright flare as the material falls into the black hole, and then very quickly it passes through the event horizon and past the point of no return. So it's a bad day for that star.
Definitely. I mean, that just shows the power of these black holes, though, doesn't it? Like, to be able to suck in a star. I mean, here I am absorbing the sun's rays. This thing could suck that star in, the sun.
Yeah, for sure. And in fact, I mean, the amount of energy contained in black holes is comparable to the amount of energy contained in the entire galaxies around them, which is one of the reasons why astronomers are so interested in studying black holes, because we think they really shape the properties of the galaxies around them as well.
Now, this black hole ate this star, was hungry. What happens to the black hole? Does it get bigger, or does it just shift the star to somewhere else?
The black hole gets a little bit bigger because it basically ate the star. But it doesn't, it's not really changing in mass by very much, because this black hole weighs about a million suns.
Right.
And so by eating one extra, you know, it's basically just a rounding error in the weight of the black hole. If it goes to weigh itself, it's not going to notice any difference. But the reason this is actually important is because it allows us to know that the black hole is there.
Mm.
Because as the name suggests, black holes can be very difficult to see. You know, sometimes you can detect them through these orbits of stars, especially if they're at the centers of galaxies. Sometimes for really nearby black holes, we've been able to take images of them, but most of the time we don't really know where black holes are throughout galaxies. Theories predict that there should be able to be black holes, not just in the centers of galaxies, but also at larger distances. But this is really the first time that we've kind of had direct evidence of black holes, rogue away from the centers of their galaxies. And the only reason we can see this is because of this bright flare when it ate a nearby star.
Dr. Rebecca Davies, would you, if you could go in some protective spacecraft to a black hole, somehow it wouldn't suck this in, would you go? Would you check it out, or would you still be a bit concerned that it
like
might
the,
be hungry?
The plot of Interstellar. I mean, I think, like, you know, it would be an incredible view to be able to see the light of all the stars being warped around the black hole, but you definitely want to see it from a safe distance. You don't want to go too close to that thing.
If you're just joining us, we're joined by astrophysicist Dr. Rebecca Davies from Swinburne, and we've been diving into some truly strange and fascinating stories. Also, don't forget, it's Radiothon Week at HOI. We're celebrating how we're stronger together. If you love hearing about black holes and space mysteries, this is your moment to support the voices you care about. Now, let's move on. A Soviet space mission that never made it to Venus has made an unexpected return after more than five decades. Is that right? What's happening here?
Yeah. So on Saturday, this probe called Cosmos 482 crashed back to Earth after actually 53 years in orbit. So the probe was part of a Soviet program that launched 28 probes bound for Venus between the 1960s and the 1980s. Venus is a really difficult planet to study because it has a very thick and very inhospitable atmosphere. So the probes have to be designed very strong, and many of them burn up before they can get far through the atmosphere, or certainly before they can touch the surface. So out of this program, I think 13 of the probes managed to enter the atmosphere and 8 of them successfully got to the surface. But this particular probe, unfortunately, was launched in 1972, but there was a problem with its rocket, which meant it never made it to Venus, and it basically got stranded in an elliptical orbit around the Earth. And over time, the drag from the atmosphere gradually pulled it lower and lower in the orbit before it crashed back to Earth over the weekend.
So it's back. Where did it land?
Well, it's actually a bit of a contentious question. So the Russian space agency Roscosmos predicted that it should have crashed in the Indian Ocean, somewhere west of Indonesia. But as far as I've seen, the landing location has not been fully confirmed. This was their best estimate based on modelling the trajectory.
Rebecca, before we let you go, it is our Radiothon week here. We are all stronger together. Why are stations such as JOI important to astrophysicists like yourself?
Yeah, I think it's very important for us to have diverse role models that are promoted in the media. We want lots of people to see role models like themselves and see that they can be able to pursue their dreams. For me in particular, I'm really passionate about inspiring young girls and women to study science. So if there's any out there listening right now, I encourage you to study physics and follow your dreams.
Rebecca, well said, and thank you so much for joining us. We'll chat to you next time.
Thank you.
See you
next time.
That's Dr. Rebecca Davies, astrophysicist from Swinburne University and one of our regular guides to the stars here on Joy Drive.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.